Turn with me this morning, please, to Mark chapter 11 in your Bibles. Thank you for praying with us today. All four Gospels give us an account of the triumphal entry of Jesus. I'm choosing Mark's this morning. All of them are fine. Some add a little more information than others. Mark's is pretty concise. I want to talk about the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday this morning. And I want to ask this question. It's the title of the message today. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? That's rhetorical. Don't anyone stand up and start telling me. Because sure enough, someone would say, a short-winded preacher. What makes you happy? Verse 1 of chapter 11 of the book of Mark. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, and bring, on which no one has sat, loose it and bring it. Another rendering of this, I think it's Matthew, says they found a donkey and her foal. So, but what we know is that this little donkey had never been ridden before. Verse 3, and if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. Will you say that with me? The Lord has need of it. Just those words, Jesus said. If you say just those words, the owner will release the colt. And immediately he will send it here. Now, was that prearranged or was it divine revelation? We don't know. But just those words, the Lord has need of it, and the owners will be happy to send that colt. So they went their way, verse 4, and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. And they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosening the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. In other words, they said, the Lord has need of it. And that cinched the deal right there. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Another rendering of this says they placed Jesus on the young donkey. He was never been ridden before. Jesus was the first one to ride a donkey. How many know that in itself is a miracle? If you're familiar with animals at all. Verse 8, and many spread their clothes on the road. Jesus began to ride that little donkey into Jerusalem. And they spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees. Another rendering says palm branches. That's where we get the term Palm Sunday. And spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying these words, Hosanna. Hosanna is a word that means save us. It has come down to the from the Hebrew. It's hallelujah is part of it, but it's come down and rendered out to where save us now. It was a cry saved for Messiah. It was a cry saved for the one who would redeem them and set captive Israel free. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! In the highest. Let's say that together. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, save us. Redeem us. Help us. And then verse 11 is an interesting little note here. It says, and then Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. He took a look at the temple, probably knowing what's going to take place there in the days to come. He will cleanse the temple twice. He will run off money changers twice. He'll be brought back to that temple. He will be put on trial. He will be beaten and scourged and eventually go to the cross. But I think it's kind of interesting that after this triumphal entry, Jesus walks into the temple at a late hour and looks around, and no one knows what he was thinking. We can only imagine what his thoughts were. And then he went to Bethany, where he would stay with Lazarus and his two sisters and spend the night there and then come back to Jerusalem. So what makes you happy? Jesus is coming into Jerusalem for what is called the triumphal entry. Up to this point, Jesus would not allow himself to be declared Messiah or King. He would tell lepers that he would heal. Be very quiet about this. Don't tell anybody. He would tell others that he would heal. Don't tell anybody. The demons that spoke and said, "We know who you are, the Son of God." He would say, "You be quiet. You just be quiet." He didn't want anyone to start proclaiming him king before the time was right. But now the time was ready. Now the time, what we know as Holy Week, begins. And Jesus allows himself to be proclaimed King and Messiah. He lets the people cry it out to the top of their voices, and it will set in motion the circumstances, the events that will take place that eventually will end up in what we know as the Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday morning. They laid branches on the ground, clothes on the ground, and there was a lot of happy going on this day. And this is kind of remarkable because these were not a happy people. They were a people in bondage. They were a people that were oppressed. They were a people who were taken advantage of by not only the Roman government, a foreign army within their nation, but also being taken advantage of by the religious leaders of their day. They didn't have a happy lot. They were being overtaxed. They were being slaughtered if they didn't obey. They were being crucified almost on a daily basis because of their disobedience. These folks didn't have a whole lot to eat. They didn't have a whole lot of rights, barely any rights. They had very little money, very, very heavy taxation. They didn't have a lot to be happy about. But when Jesus came riding in like a conquering general, they realized this is Messiah and they got happy. Would not you have been happy too? Come on. They thought, deliverance has come. He's here. Messiah's here. He's going to release us from the shackles of the Romans and all the things that have been happening to us. And as you read through this passage, the disciples were happy. They were happy to follow Jesus and be his disciples. They had continually, through 3.5 years, had said, "When are you going to reveal yourself to Israel? When are you going to let people proclaim you as Messiah? We believe you're the Messiah. We believe you're the Son of God. When are you going to do it?" And he would just tell them, "In time." "And when are you going to do it?" "In time." "When are you going to do it?" "In time." "How many's had kids in the back seat of the car and you're going on vacation?" And the famous line comes out. What is it? "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Pretty soon. Are we there yet? Pretty soon. Are we there yet? Pretty soon." I told you about the group we took to Los Angeles many years ago. We had one young lady in the back constantly. "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" I said, "Connie, it's 2,000 miles away. How far have we gone? How far have we gone?" Finally, we stopped at a rest area and I said, "This is a good place to sell you." She didn't ask me that very much. Now, I was kidding, of course, but. But the disciples were happy to follow Jesus because now they realize he's done it. He's allowed himself to be proclaimed as the Messiah. They found this small donkey and the owners were happy to loan it to Jesus. We don't know why, but the minute they said the Lord has need of it, they were happy to oblige and said, "Sure, you take it. Jesus needs it. You can have it." The crowd of people were happy. They were welcoming the king into Jerusalem. They were happy. The little donkey, and I'm assuming he was probably happy to give Jesus a ride. Amen? Donkeys were made for that. Isn't it interesting that Mary, the mother of Jesus, rode a donkey to Bethlehem, and now Mary's son Jesus is riding a donkey into Jerusalem. Amen? We need donkeys. Everybody said amen. I was going to have you say hee-haw, but I don't think you would have done that. The little donkey was happy that he was, you know, giving Jesus a ride, I'm sure. And Jesus was happy to fulfill the Father's plan. But because of verse 11, there was probably some reservation there. Not about doing the Father's will, but knowing what he would have to go through in order to accomplish the salvation of our souls. He spent a little time looking around in the temple. So everybody in the triumphal entry, everybody on Palm Sunday seemed to be happy that day, except, as you read on, as you read other accounts, except his enemies. They were not happy. Specifically, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Romans, they were not happy that day. This was an uproar. This was an intrusion. This was out of the plan. They didn't believe he was Messiah. They were not happy. They were his enemies, and they began to plot. As a matter of fact, that already started a few days before when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The Bible says they started then plotting how they could kill Jesus and kill Lazarus as well. They were not happy with him. The king has always had enemies. The king has enemies today. Egypt is proof that Christianity has enemies. The king has enemies. But I want to tell you, the enemies will not prevail. Do what they will. The king will rise. The king is alive. And he is powerful. Hallelujah. And he will defeat his enemies. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I've read the book of Revelation. And I know that by the breath of his mouth, by the spirit of the risen Christ, when he rides from heaven on that white steed with the sword on his side, he will bring judgment to this world and his enemies will bow and be defeated. Hallelujah. But he has enemies. Even today, his people have enemies. There are enemies of the gospel. There are enemies of Christianity. But I want to tell you, Jesus is still alive, and they can't change that. Amen? They can't change that. What makes us happy? Everybody was happy on Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. Everyone ought to be happy. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, smile. Smile. How many know that sometimes happy doesn't necessarily have to be demonstrated with a smile? Because happy goes deeper than that. Amen? Happy goes deeper than that. Now, smile's a good thing. Smile's a good thing. But sometimes happy goes so much deeper. Paul the Apostle said, I have learned to be content in whatever condition I'm in. He realized that sometimes he would be abased, sometimes he would be exalted, sometimes he would be welcome, sometimes he would be unwelcome. But he said, I've learned to be content in whatever condition that I'm in. He said, I have had nothing and I have had lots. He said, I've had fair weather and I've had foul weather. But he said, I have learned to be content in whatever condition that I'm in. That's a mouthful, and that's incredibly difficult sometimes, unless you know from where your true happiness comes from. What makes people happy today? Does money make people happy? Sure does me. After our counters count the offering and they give me a report, most of the time I am really happy. We can pay the bills. I might even get a check. Praise God. It makes me happy. But then Monday comes and I have to look at what we have to pay that week, and the offerings don't match what we have to pay. There goes the happy. How many know that there's a plug on our big toe where happy can drain out? Come on. Come on. Yeah, no, let's face it. Money can make us happy. If you don't say yes to that, then all that money you have is really a trouble to you. We'd be glad to take it off your hands. No, but money can make us happy, but just for a while. Amen? It can make us superficially happy, but it is not the down deep happiness that endures through everything. Come on. Amen? That's proven by people who win the lottery. You know, the internet is full of stories about people who won the millions only to find themselves in bankruptcy court a few years later because they didn't use wisdom. They didn't know how to spend it rightly. What makes us happy? Fame? If I could only be famous, I would be happy. I would be happy. I'd be famous. Some pastors think that. If I can only be a pastor of a mega church and be on television and radio and write books and be famous and travel the world, I would be happy. And then they've realized that fame doesn't bring happiness. You want to see unhappy, go to Hollywood. Come on. Go to New York. You'll see unhappy people. Unhappy people. What makes us happy? Power? Well, yes, that makes us happy. Look at the politicians in Washington. They're a happy lot. Every time you watch a news report, half of them come out smiling, and the other half come out frowning. And then when they have another thing and it goes the other way, that half that was smiling comes out frowning. The other, come on, come on, that's our system. Power, does that make you happy? Well, for a little while maybe, but then reality hits. How about food? Food make you happy? Bible says it does. Makes me happy. Amen? Depends on the food. But it makes me happy. For a while. Come on, for a while. For a while. I don't want to lose you now. Stick with me. Travel, does that make us happy? I enjoy traveling. I like to travel. But after a while, those motel rooms get really, really tiring, don't they? I met a couple, Cheryl and I were traveling through Montana to go to Wyoming to visit a church there. And we were stopped somewhere in Montana. And we pulled over and out of the motel comes someone from Battleground. Couldn't believe it. And I recognized them and introduced myself. Oh, yes, I know, you're pastor at the church. Yeah, and they were on a motorcycle, husband and wife team, motorcycle. I said, boy, that's exciting. She says, yeah, till you've been on it for a week. She said, we stopped here because they have laundry facilities. And anyway, she started telling me some of the downside of riding the motorcycle. All I could see was Route 66. You know, the wind just blowing in my hair. You know, what I didn't see is Cheryl in the back saying, you pull over. Get me to, anyway. Travel. Yeah, that'll make you happy for a while, but then after a while it gets boring. For friends, family, success, health, all of those things will make us happy temporarily. But there's only one thing that can make us happy. Through thick and thin, through rough times and good times, through poverty, through riches, through fame and infamy. There's only one thing that can bring us true, down, deep happiness that lasts and endures. And that is if we let the King ride into our lives and reside there. Amen. To have the King inside of us. A relationship with the Lord of glory. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus can make us happy. And it's not the happy ha-ha kind of happy laughter that we chuckle about all that. No, it is a down, deep-seated happiness that endures, that lasts through the most difficult of times, through the best of times. In Matthew 13:44, there's a short little parable. I want to read it to you this morning. Matthew 13:44. It's a one-verse little parable. Jim, could you grab me my water there, please? Thank you, sir. Pardon me, folks. Dry sermons do that to me. Matthew 13:44, Jesus' words. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like... And he will use that phrase a number of times. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Treasure hidden in a field. Treasure hidden in a field. Look up at verse 38. If you have your Bibles, it won't be on the screen. Look at verse 38. The world is, or the field is what? The world. So look down in verse 44. Treasure hidden in a what? In the field, in the world, which a man found and hid, and for joy, notice the term, joy, for joy over it goes, and sells all that he has. And what does he do? He buys the field. He buys the field. He sells everything that he has to buy the field where the treasure is. Now, in verse 45, 46, it's the pearl of great price. But here, it's a treasure. The pearl of great price, we know, refers to Jesus, a relationship to him. But verse 44, this treasure, I think it's the same. It is Jesus. There's treasure. And this man sells everything in order to buy the field so that he can procure the treasure. He'll buy it all. He'll sell it all. He'll give everything in order to have the treasure because of joy. He needs joy, and this treasure is bringing him joy. He'll do everything he possibly can to procure the treasure. And I want to tell you that little parable, what it speaks to us this morning, is that we should be willing to give it all to have the greatest treasure you could ever have. And that is not money, that is not fame, that is not travel, that's not food, that's not power, but that is a relationship with Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price. Amen. We sell it all, we give it all. Lord, to have you, to have you. Is Jesus worth that? Is Jesus worth everything that I have? Absolutely he is. Because at the end of this life, the end of what we know is life as we know it, without Jesus, we don't have anything. I did a memorial service yesterday at a graveside service. And part of what I quoted was, "From dust we came, and from dust we shall return." Those are the words of Job. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Bible says that surely we brought nothing into this world, and we will take nothing out of this world. Amen? There's a bumper sticker. It's not been around for a while, but it used to say, he that dies with the most toys wins. Well, there was another one followed up. It says, he that dies with the most toys still dies. Come on. Amen? But when you have Jesus Christ, the treasure of the field, that you've given everything to have, when you get to the end of this life, you have the best. You have everlasting life. You have Jesus, and that takes us into the next one. Hallelujah. The next life where we live forever and ever and ever and ever with Jesus Christ our Lord. Are we willing to give everything for His treasure, the treasure that He is? That really makes us happy. And that's what this parable says. For the joy of the treasure, this man sold everything. So all of these things that I've mentioned can make us happy for a while. But at some point, they may not be the source of a deep and lasting happiness. A happiness that satisfies my deepest longings and desires. A happiness that can't be taken away by life's circumstances. That kind of happy only comes from God. It can't be bought. It can't be bargained for. It's a gift from God. It's a gift to us by Jesus, the King of Palm Sunday. The reason we celebrate Palm Sunday today is because the King came in and he allowed himself to be proclaimed the Messiah. That would lead to his arrest. That would lead to his trial. That would lead to his scourging, that would lead to his crucifixion. We will honor that on Friday evening at our communion service. And they will place him in the tomb. He will die. He will die. And they will place him in the tomb. But on the third day, he will rise again. Hallelujah. And we'll celebrate that next Sunday. Amen. And for the hardy among us at 7 o'clock at the park. And for those who have more common sense here at 9 o'clock. No, I'm kidding. He came back. He's the reason that there's joy in the house of the Lord. I asked Trina to lead that song this morning. I love that song, "There's Joy in the House of the Lord." I love learning a little Spanish along the way. I want to thank our Spanish families for helping me learn a little Spanish, poquito Spanish, just a little. No matter what language you say it in, there is joy in the house of the Lord. Amen? When we gather with God's people. You say, what will happen to the churches in Egypt? What will happen now that they've been bombed and all those lives have been lost? Will the churches stop meeting? I tell you, they'll keep meeting. They have a resolve that the enemy will not stop them from doing what the Bible says, and that is the gathering together of God's people. Hallelujah. Because there is happiness in the house of the Lord. There is happiness when we gather with other of God's people. There is happiness when we celebrate the fact that the King has come. Has He come to your life? Has He come to your heart? Have you allowed Him to ride into your life and be your Savior and be your Lord? That is what brings true happiness to every life, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me this morning, please? I want to read Psalms 148 before we leave. Psalms 148. It is called the Hallelujah Psalm. It is one of several that begin with the Hebrew word hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, and ends with the word hallelujah or praise the Lord. In most versions, it will say praise the Lord, but in the Hebrew, that means hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You just spoke Hebrew. Congratulations. Say buenos dias. You just said good morning, right, in Spanish. You know two languages. Say, Jesus is good.
Jesus is good.
Now you know English. Hallelujah. Three languages in one morning. Wow. It's wonderful. Let me read it to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. For His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Palm Sunday. A reminder that the King rode in and started the journey of dying for our sins and coming back from the dead. Let the King ride in your heart and your life today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the triumphant King. We thank You for the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus, I thank You that You rode in that day as a triumphant King. You knew what was ahead of You. But You did not shirk Your responsibility. You fulfilled everything the Father had You to do. And today You are alive, Lord. You live to make intercession for us. And though the enemies of the gospel continue to this day, they will diminish, but You will increase. Hallelujah. May each one that is here this morning let the King ride in their lives. Let them say, Jesus, You are the treasure. I'll give all to have You in my life. I'll sell it all. I'll be all so that You can be in my life. Thank You, Jesus, for this day and the joy that I can find in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank You in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said amen. 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 You're dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming to church today. And we may see some of you after second service. Otherwise, have a great week. God bless.